TOGAF, the Open Group Architecture Framework, is currently the dominating enterprise architecture methodology. By many, it is considered to be the de facto standard for doing enterprise architecture, and several surveys indicate that it is the most commonly used EA method in the industry. The Open Group claims that 80% of the companies from the Global 50 list and 60% of the companies from the Fortune 500 list are using TOGAF. The number of TOGAF 9 certifications passed a number of 100,000 in June 2020. TOGAF is also a huge body of knowledge. The handbook of TOGAF is hundreds of pages and weighs about 1.5 kilograms. It is sometimes joked that no company has ever filled all the squares of the Chahman framework, and I also assume that there is no enterprise architect who would have actually read the entire TOGAF book. In addition, TOGAF is also a collection of practices. I won't necessarily say the best practices, but practices at least. Like ITIL, for example, these practices are often adapted in the organizations using them, and by this means they provide a starting point for implementing the organization-specific practices for enterprise architecture management. As shown in this figure, from a study by Cameron and Macmillan, over half of the organizations seem to be using some kind of hybrid EA framework, which means that they have taken some ready-made framework or method and then customized it or combined with features from other frameworks to fit their organization's specific needs. In this course, we won't go through all the details of TOGAF. There are plenty of other materials, courses and certifications for that, but instead, in this talk, we will cover four areas that are regarded as the core of TOGAF recommendations. These are Architecture Development Method, ADM, Architecture Content Framework, Enterprise Continuum, and Architecture Capability Framework. In the following, each of these are treated in separate short video lectures. From Moodle, you can find also links to the corresponding parts of the Open Group's official TOGAF 9.2 documentation, which allows you to dig deeper into these topics. The Architecture Development Method is a method for developing an IT architecture that meets the business needs. As said in the Open Group's TOGAF documentation, the ADM forms the core of TOGAF. Or actually, in practice, it forms the entire other half of the TOGAF, which consists of two main parts, namely ADM and TOGAF Foundation Architecture. The ADM process cycle has 7 iterative phases. Iteration can take place over the whole process, between phases and within phases. To quote the Open Group, for each iteration of the ADM, a fresh decision must be taken as to the breadth of the coverage of the enterprise to be defined, the level of detail to be defined, the extent of the time horizon aim at, including the number and extent of any intermediate time horizons, and the architectural assets to be leveraged in the organization's enterprise continuum, including assets created in previous iterations of the ADM cycle within the enterprise and assets available elsewhere in the industry, for example, other frameworks, systems models, vertical industry models, etc. These decisions need to be made on the basis of a practical assessment of resource and competence availability and the value that can be realistically be expected to accrue to the enterprise from the chosen scope of the architecture work. The purpose of the preliminary phase is to ensure that the organization has capabilities to implement successful architecture project. As this is not an actual phase of the ADM development cycle, we will skip it for now and come back to it later when we talk about the architecture capability framework. The first actual phase of the ADM is the architecture vision. This phase starts with the receipt of a request for architecture work from the sponsoring organization to the architecture organization. The goal of this phase is to ensure that this evolution of the architecture development cycle has proper recognition and endorsement from the corporate management of the enterprise and the support and commitment of the necessary line management. In more detail, the objectives are to validate the business principles, business goals, and strategic business drivers of the organization, to define the scope of and to identify and prioritize the components of the baseline architecture effort, to define the relevant stakeholders and their concerns and objectives, to define the key business requirements to be addressed in this architecture effort and the constraints that must be dealt with, to articulate an architecture vision that demonstrates a response to those requirements and constraints, to secure formal approval to proceed, and to understand the impact on and of other enterprise architecture development cycles ongoing in parallel. Normally, the business principles, business goals, and strategic drivers of the organization are already defined elsewhere in the enterprise. If so, the activity in phase A is involved with ensuring that existing definitions are current and clarifying any areas of ambiguity. Otherwise, it involves defining these essential items from scratch. In practice, architecture vision phase also establishes the architecture development project. It also presents a high-level description of the baseline and target environments from both business and technical perspectives. These outline descriptions are then built on in subsequent phases. Next phase develops the descriptions of business architecture baseline and target state that are relevant to the project. Also, the gaps between the current and target stages are analyzed and documented. It is necessary to identify relevant architecture viewpoints that will enable the architect to demonstrate how the stakeholder concerns are addressed in the business architecture. A knowledge of the business architecture is a prerequisite for architecture work in any other domain, i.e. data, applications, and technology. In practical terms, the business architecture is also often necessary as a means of demonstrating the business value of subsequent technical architecture work to the stakeholders and the return on investment to those stakeholders from supporting and participating in the subsequent work. Modeling techniques used in this phase may include, for example, map of business services, business process models, use case models, and logical data models. Information systems architecture phase develops the target information systems, that is, data and application architecture, describing how the enterprise's information systems architecture will enable the business architecture and the architecture vision in a way that addresses the request for architecture work and stakeholder concerns. Also, the candidate architecture development roadmap based upon gaps between the baseline and target information systems architecture is proposed. Finally, technology architecture develops the target technology architecture that enables the architecture vision, target business, data, and application building blocks to be delivered through technology components and technology services in a way that addresses the statement of architecture work and stakeholder concerns. So as you can notice, the default marching order here is to start with the architecture vision, then design the business architecture that corresponds to this request, then analyze the information system architecture in relation to the needs of business architecture, and finally design the technology architecture accordingly. Phase E, namely opportunities and solutions, describes the process of identifying delivery vehicles such as projects, programs, or portfolios that effectively deliver the target architecture identified and described in previous phases. As the phase's name implies, it concentrates on identifying opportunities and solutions to deliver the architecture. This is done by developing the initial complete version of the architecture roadmap based upon the gap analysis and candidate architecture roadmap components from phases B, C, and D. In the migration planning phase, the previous initial architecture roadmap is finalized to support the implementation and migration planning. It is ensured that the implementation and migration plan is coordinated with the enterprise's approach to managing and implementing change in the enterprise's overall change portfolio and that the business value and cost of the work packages and possible transition architectures is understood by the key stakeholders. This is a figure from the Archimate lecture that shows a simple example of architecture development roadmap with work packages, transition state architectures, and gaps between the stages. The implementation governance takes place during the actual implementation of the architecture plans. For example, if the project involves an implementation of a new information system, the implementation happens here. From the architecture governance point of view, architects define architecture constraints on implementation projects, provide architectural oversight for the implementation, and ensure conformance with the target architecture. Finally, architecture change management ensures that the architecture lifecycle will be maintained. This includes, for example, updating the architecture modeling repository so that it corresponds to the new current state architecture. In the center of the ADM circle is the requirements management, with which all the phases communicate. This implies that requirements, whether they are business requirements, stakeholder requirements, technology requirements, or something else, are continuously kept up to date, and planning and development work are compared against them. Each phase of the ADM model can be also opened up to view more details. Like in this figure, the technology architecture phase is opened to 8 different stages. First, when modeling technology architecture, the baseline architecture is created or modeled. Then we consider the views, what we are interested in, depending on what kind of project we are working with. Again, confirm business objectives, define the target state architecture following the business objectives, then conduct gap analysis between the current state and the designed target state architecture, and then move on in the ADM cycle. So that was the ADM cycle in a quick manner. To end this talk, let's go through a couple of notions related to the generic nature of the ADM and what that means using the ADM in practice. As a generic method, the ADM is intended to be used by enterprises in a wide variety of different geographies and applied in different vertical sectors or industry types. As such, it may be, but does not necessarily have to be, tailored to the specific needs. For example, it may be used in conjunction with the set of deliverables of another framework where these have been deemed to be more appropriate for a specific organization. For example, many US federal agencies have developed individual frameworks that define the deliverables specific to their particular departmental needs. The same applies also in Finnish public sector. It may be used in conjunction with the well-known Chahman framework, for example, which is an excellent classification scheme, but lacks an openly available, well-defined methodology. As with any method, it is often wise or even necessary to customize the ADM before its adoption. According to the TOGAF documentation, the ADM is a generic method for architecture development, which has been designed to deal with most system and organizational requirements. However, it will often be necessary to modify or extend the ADM to suit specific needs. One of the tasks before applying the ADM to a specific situation will be to review the ADM and tailor it, if necessary, to the circumstances of the enterprise concerned. This activity may well produce an organization-specific ADM. The reasons for customizing ADM include, for example, that it is necessary to link the ADM with other processes, such as those for authorization, risk limitation, business planning, budgeting, development planning, requirements, project management, systems development, or procurement. The ADM may be also used as a development method for something other than IT architecture. For example, application architecture, data architecture, overall enterprise architecture, or as a general program management method. As a generic method, the ADM is well suited to adaptation in this way. The ADM is being mandated for use by a prime or lead contractor in an outsourcing situation and needs to be tailored to achieve a suitable compromise between the contractor's existing practices and the contracting organization's requirements. The organization might be small to medium enterprise and wishes to produce a cut-down method more attuned to the reduced level of resources and system complexity typical of such an environment. Or the organization might be a very large and complex, comprising many separate but interlinked enterprises within an overall meta-enterprise, and the architecture method needs to be adapted to recognize this. Different approaches to planning and integration may be used in such cases. Or finally, in a vendor or a production environment, a generic architecture is often referred to as a product line architecture, and the analogous process to that is termed architecture-based product line engineering. The ADM is targeted primarily at architects in the IT user organizations, but the vendor organizations whose products are IT-based might well wish to adapt it as a generic method for a product line architecture development.